to me your secrets. Show me your nightmares. All cats are gray in the dark, dear. Whether or not you dare.
Welcome to All Cats Are Gray in the Dark. I'm your host, April Simmons. This podcast contains true cases of graphic violent crimes and other stories of a dark nature. Please be advised that due to the subject matter and violent, sometimes sexual content and obscene language, this podcast is not for children or the faint of heart.
Come in!
Hi-de-ho, neighbors.
Yee-haw.
Can you hear me good? It doesn't look like my waves are doing anything. What the hell?
Your waves never do anything. Yeah. But I guess mine don't look super wibbly.
Well, now they do. You raised your voice and it was like, oh. Bam. Oh, well. What can you do? Or what would you do for a Klondike bar? That's
nothing. I really don't like them.
Yeah, I don't either. I was going to say, we should make a list out of that. And then I was like, no, that would be a really short list. Because I would be like, pay 25 cents. I don't.
What would I do for like Reese's things? Yeah, I do a lot for those, but not a Klondike bar.
Okay. Well, I guess this is another episode. It's 83. We should do something special for the 100th episode. Any ideas, anybody? Because I don't know. Also, Halloween's coming up, so I got to come up with something fancy for Halloween too. So we might need some ideas. Throw some ideas at us, anybody who's listening. Probably just Bonna, but
do it, Bonna.
Yeah, Bonna.
Now that she's listening again.
Yeah, she informed us she wasn't getting updates on our feed anymore, so she thought we just weren't recording or something. But she started back listening, so there you go. That's why our listenership is down. It wasn't because Bonna wasn't listening.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess there's just too much going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
Things have been kind of slow with our business, too. But I think I mentioned that before. So, no more banter. We got to go on to the story. Because this is going to be a little bit longer.
Get to it.
Yeah, get to it. We're going to talk about Samuel Little today, who's a serial killer. Yay.
Yay.
And this one's a little bit close to home, but we'll get to that. Samuel Little was an American serial killer who confessed to murdering 93 people, mostly women, and convicted in 2012 for the murders of Carol Eileen Elford, Guadalupe Duarte Apodaca, and Audrey Nelson Everett. I probably messed all of that up, but I tried. In 2018, he was convicted for the murder of Denise Christie Brothers. The FBI has confirmed Little's involvement in at least 60 of the 93 confessed murders, the largest number of proven cases for any serial killer in U.S. history. He allegedly murdered women across 19 states over 35 years, ending around 2005. The number of murders he confessed to, if confirmed, would make him the most prolific serial killer in the United States history, according to Ector County, Texas District Attorney Bobby Bland. Bobby Bland just sounds like a blues singer's name.
Honestly, the name sounded familiar. Has he been involved with something else?
Probably.
Why do I know that name?
Probably, because, I mean, we've done so many cases. It's possible.
Oh, there actually was a Bobby Bland that was a blues singer.
Okay. Maybe that's why it sounded familiar then.
Yeah.
But, so they're still trying to, even though he's dead, spoiler alert, which he just died recently, like in the past year or two, I think. But we'll get to that. But they were able to match up his confession with 60 of the 93 so far. So it's safe to assume that since they've matched up details on 60, that he's probably telling the truth and it is 93. I mean, because a lot of the other stuff, like, you know, Henry Lee Lucas and Otis, whatever his name is, that I can never figure out which one it is. Like, those, they could never actually tie them specifically to those cases. So you just have to run on the assumption that they're probably telling the truth, at least some of them, but probably not all.
Yeah.
But in this case, they still have, like, he drew pictures of the women and stuff, and gave them to police. So they're still trying to match up some of these pictures that he drew to people that were missing or murdered, you know, during that time frame. So you can actually go to the FBI website and it'll show you all the ones that they're still trying to find. They have all the pictures and details, you know, to try to match those up. So if you are interested, you can go to the FBI website and it's in our show notes. Anyway. Samuel Little was born on June 7th, 1940, in Reynolds, Georgia, to a mother he claimed was a prostitute. Why is it always the mom's a prostitute that ends up with a serial killer? Why? Or a rapist. They always turn violent somehow. Soon after his birth, Little's family moved to Lorain, Ohio, where he was brought up mainly by his grandmother. He attended Hawthorne Junior High School, where he had problems with discipline and achievement. By his own account, he began having sexual fantasies about strangling women as a child, starting when he saw his kindergarten teacher touch her neck. As a teenager, he collected true crime magazines depicting women being choked. In 1956, after being convicted of breaking and entering into property in Omaha, Nebraska, Little was held in an institution for juvenile offenders. So that was his first conviction, I guess.
Yeah, first record.
Yeah, you want to read the next couple of paragraphs?
Sure. Little moved to Florida to live with his mother in the late 60s, working at various times as a cemetery worker. Well, there's another red flag for you, and an ambulance attendant. He said he then began traveling more widely and had more run-ins with the law, being arrested in 8 states for crimes that included driving under the influence, fraud, shoplifting, solicitation, armed robbery, aggravated assault, and rape. Little claimed that he took up boxing during his stints in prison, referring to himself as a former prize fighter. Those are, like, nothing but, like, flags.
Yeah.
How did he keep getting out? Like, that's what I don't understand. In 1961, Little was sentenced to 3 years in prison for breaking into a furniture store in Lorain. He was released in 1964. By 1975, he had been arrested 26 times in 11 states for crimes including theft, assault, attempted rape, fraud, and attacks on government officials. Well, he just kept adding to his laundry list there.
Yeah.
In 1982, Little was arrested in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and charged with the murder of a 22-year-old Melinda Rose LaPree, who had gone missing in September of that year. A grand jury declined to indict him for her murder. However, while under investigation, Little was extradited to Florida and tried for the murder of 26-year-old Patricia Ann Mount, whose body was found in September 1982. Prosecution witnesses identified Little in court as a person who spent time with Mount on the night before her disappearance. Due to mistrust of witness testimonies, Little was acquitted in January 1984. So, crap. He already has 2 different murders he's been somewhat associated with.
Yeah, yeah.
And all these other crimes.
And just imagine, and that's only like a handful up to that point of that specifically. Imagine if they had kept him in prison and avoided, you know, 20 more years of this bullshit. And how many people would have been saved had they kept him in prison? Like, I don't... Anyway, Little moved to California, where he stayed in the vicinity of San Diego. In October 1984, he was arrested for kidnapping, beating, and strangling 22-year-old Lori Barros, who survived. 1 month later, he was found by police in the back seat of his car with an unconscious woman, also beaten and strangled, in the same location as the attempted murder of Barros. Little served 2.5 years in prison for both crimes. Upon his release in February 1987, he immediately moved to Los Angeles and committed at least 10 additional murders.
All right. I mean, all right, number one, it's on this guy, right, for just being a fucking horrible human being, but it's partially on the U.S. Legal system.
Yeah.
This is a failure.
He's just getting a smack on the wrist, basically, for murders and kidnappings and rapings and stranglings and all that stuff. It's like, hello, people that do that kind of stuff tend to escalate. So even if he had not committed murder, since he had not been, I guess, officially, you know, convicted of murder, but that's, you know, that the police, you know, or the judge or whoever knows that stuff has happened. Like, people like that escalate. It's going to get worse and worse. So it's like, even if he had not already committed the murders, or you didn't even know about them, somebody somewhere that down the line should have said, this guy's obviously violent. Let's keep him in prison. You know? Like, that's ridiculous. But he's just basically continually getting, you know, a little slap on the wrist. Little was arrested on September 5th, 2012 at a homeless shelter in Louisville, Kentucky, and extradited to California to face a narcotics charge, after which authorities used DNA testing to establish that he was involved in the murders of Carol Eileen Elford and the other people that I mentioned earlier. I'm sorry. I'm not going to read all of those out. All three women were killed and later found on the streets of Los Angeles. He was extradited to Los Angeles, where he was charged on January 7, 2013. A few months later, the police said that Little was being investigated for involvement in 36 murders committed in the 80s, which until then had been undisclosed. In connection with the new circumstances in Mississippi, the LaPree murder case was reopened. In total, Little was tested for involvement in 93 murders of women committed in many U.S. states. That was repetitive if I said United States, but whatever. Anyway. Yeah. He was tried for the murders of Elford, Nelson, and Apodaca in September 2014. The prosecution presented DNA evidence as well as testimony of witnesses who were attacked by the accused at different times throughout his criminal career. On September 25th, 2014, Little was found guilty and sentenced to life imprisonment without possibility of parole. Thank you, Jesus. On the day of the verdict, Little continued to insist on his innocence. But before his death on December 30th, 2020, Little was serving a sentence at the California State Prison, Los Angeles County. So he just died last year in December. So not that long ago. You want to read the next few?
One good thing 2020 brought to us, I guess.
Yeah.
Waited till the very freaking end. On November 9th, 2018, Little confessed to the 1996 fatal strangulation of Melissa Thomas. On November 13th, 2018, Little was charged with the 1994 murder case of Denise Christie Brothers in Odessa, Texas, after having confessed the crime to a Texas Ranger in May 2018. Little pleaded guilty to the murder of Brothers on December 13th and received another life sentence. The Apter County, Texas District Attorney and Wise County, Texas Sheriff's Office announced on November 13th that Little had confessed to dozens of murders and may have committed more than 90 across 14 states between 1970 and 2005. So 35 freaking years.
Yep.
On November 15th, 2018, the Russell County, Alabama District Attorney announced that Little had earlier that month confessed to the 1979 murder of 23-year-old Brenda Alexander, whose body was found in Phoenix City, Alabama. On November 16th, 2018, Macon, Georgia sheriffs announced that Little had credibly confessed to the 1977 strangling murder of an unidentified woman and the 1982 strangling murder of 18-year-old Fredonia Smith. In the fall of 2018, Little confessed to the 1982 murder of 55-year-old Dorothy Richards and the 1996 murder of 40-year-old Daisy McGuire. Both of their bodies were found in Houma, Louisiana.
Wow. I can read. You're obviously tired of reading that. On November 19, 2018, Harrison County, Mississippi Sheriff Troy Peterson said that Little had confessed to strangling 36-year-old Julia Critchfield in the Gulfport area in 1978 and dumping her body off a cliff. On November 20th, 2018, Lee County, Mississippi That's which is our hometown area.
Yep.
Law enforcement officials announced that Little had admitted to killing 46-year-old Nancy Carol Stevens in Tupelo, Mississippi in 2005, and that the case would be presented to a grand jury in January 2019. According to investigators, Little said he and Stevens were traveling in his RV in 2005, and he strangled her in the West Main Street Walmart parking lot in Tupelo and dumped her body on the side of County Road 41. Which if you're local, is like in the Chesterfield area. Or Chesterville. Yeah. Sorry, I messed that up. So it's like the Chesterville area, kind of close to Belden, you know. Which I had to look up because I wasn't even sure. I was like, where's County Road 41? I don't know. Yeah. But this whole incident took place way too close to where I live, guys. I hope I'm not giving too much away by saying that, but that murder took place really close to my home, and that's kind of scary to me. And also the fact that this is something I didn't know about till I started hearing about Samuel Little in the past couple of years, in which I'm a true crime buff, and obviously I'm interested in serial killers, and it's weird to me that I never even heard of this dude until like maybe 2 years ago. And then the fact that I never heard about that murder despite it being in my hometown, like, it's just so weird to me. But maybe our local law enforcement doesn't like publicizing shit that they can't solve. Yeah, they may have not talked about it back then, you know, at all. I don't know. What's your feeling on this, knowing that this happened so close to us?
I don't know. There's crazy fucking shit everywhere. Just in times, man, in times. I don't know. It is scary to know. I mean, hell, we were around then.
And we were also around when that guy...
I was pregnant with my kid at the time.
And there was another case that happened around the same time period that they were calling the Highway 78 killer or something. And I could not find out whether that had been solved either. Like, they had a suspect back then, but they never gave any updates on that. It was a body that was found on a road that was near you at that time.
Yeah.
And so I believe that, didn't you find that it was strangulation on that case too? So I was like, could this be connected and one that he didn't add in his total?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say it was a year or two after, so I don't know if he stayed in the area or anything.
Well, he traveled around constantly, but he did go repeatedly to certain places.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, because there was one in Gulfport and there was one in Pascagoula, which if you know the area, that's pretty close together. And those took place in different years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he obviously traveled in somewhat of a pattern, like he usually went to the same places again.
Yeah. It was the one that I found, it was strangled and on like Lake Piamingo. They had arrested someone that had been around this woman, but I couldn't find anywhere he had been convicted. But considering it was like similar circumstances, I was like, what if that poor dude wasn't the killer? You know, like,
yeah. And what if it was this guy? Because it's the same time frame and similar MO. So
yeah,
just dumped.
Yeah. I want to say it was like early 2007 or into 2006.
Yeah.
For that one.
But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there because it was something that we knew a little bit about, even though there's not very much article wise out there about that. On November 21st, 2018, Richland County, South Carolina authorities announced that Little had confessed to murdering 19-year-old Evelyn Weston, whose body was found near Fort Jackson, South Carolina in 1978. And he also confessed to having killed 20-year-old Rosie Hill in Marion County, Florida in 1982. You want to read a couple?
Yeah. On November 27, 2018, the FBI announced that a violent criminal apprehension program team had confirmed 34 of Little's confessions and was working to match the remainder of Little's confessions to known murders or suspicious deaths. Little began making the confessions in exchange for a transfer out of the Los Angeles County prison in which he was being held. One included his confession to a previous cold case homicide in Prince George's County, Maryland, previously one of only two homicide cases in that county with unidentified victims. So where was, like, okay, just transferred out of that particular prison, I'm okay with. But I guess, I don't know. I don't want him going to a cushy prison either.
Yeah.
In December 2018, Little was indicted for strangling Linda Sue Boards, 23, to death in May 1981 in Warren County, Kentucky. Her body was found on May 15, 1981 near U.S. Route 68. One of Little's victims was identified in December 18 as Martha Cunningham of Knox County, Tennessee, who was 34 years old when Little murdered her in 1975. Jeez, just so many. On May 31st, 2019, Cuyahoga County, Ohio, prosecutors announced indictments with four counts of aggravated murder and six counts of kidnapping that accused Little of killing Mary Jo Payton in 1984 and Rose Evans in 1991 in Cleveland. Both victims were strangled and dumped. The body of Rose Evans, 32, was found on August 24th, 1991 in a vacant lot on East 39th Street. She left her hometown of Binghamton. She left her hometown of Binghamton, New York, when she was 17. Evans had been strangled, according to coroner Elizabeth K. Balraj. As for Payton, an anthropologist had to create a model of what she looked like, but she remained unidentified until 1992, when Cleveland put her thumbprint in an FBI database and got a match. Little picked up Payton at a bar near East 105th and Euclid Avenues. He described her as a short, plump woman in her 20s with brown hair. Little confessed to killing another Cleveland woman in 1977 or 78. The woman murdered in 77 or 78 was found on March 18th, 1983 in Willoughby Hills, Ohio, according to the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System.
Namus.
She was likely... What? Namus.
You could just say Namus.
Namus, yeah. I'm not as cool as you knowing these things. She was likely black and somewhere between 17 and 35 years old. The woman's body had been dumped down a grassy slope near a fence in a wooded area just off Interstate 271 when her body was found by a man walking his dog. Only her skeleton, some clothing, and jewelry remained. How much would that suck if you just dumped off and nobody ever finds you?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it happens a good bit, you know.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, you got to think, like, how lazy of a society we are at this point. Like, we don't often wander anymore. You know, why do we even need to? We can just drive somewhere or take an Uber or, you know, and a lot of times, like, I think of in my childhood, I would wander across people's yards, like, trek across a field or whatever to get to a creek or something, but a lot of people just don't do that anymore. So think of all of the areas that really aren't, like, trekked anymore, how many bodies are probably left around. But I guess we got drones,
yeah,
and Google Earth for that now.
What was the last one that you did? Oh, the Cuyahoga. Yeah. And the only reason I know Cuyahoga is just because that's where my ex was from. So that's, I'd heard him say it. So that's how he said it. And he's from Ohio. So
maybe he's right.
Maybe he's right. Little confessed to killing one woman in Akron, two in Cincinnati. One of the bodies was dumped outside of Columbus, Ohio. And one woman he met in Columbus and disposed of in Kentucky. Of the two women Little murdered in Cincinnati, one was identified as Anna Stewart, 33, whose body was dumped in Grove City, Ohio. Stewart was last seen on October 6, 1981, getting out of a cab at General Hospital to see her sister, now University of Cincinnati Academic Health Center. That's a mouthful right there. She was killed on October 11th. He killed the other women between 1980 and 1999. The Jane Doe was anywhere from 15 to 50, as the details of her age and the date of her murder are unclear. She was black, slender, wore glasses, and lived in the Over the Rhine neighborhood of Cincinnati with a heavy female Hispanic. Little left her beside a cigarette billboard in Ohio. On June 7th, 2019, Little was indicted in Hamilton County, Ohio for murdering the two women from Cincinnati. Little had drawn portraits of many women he killed. These portraits were released by the FBI in hopes of someone identifying the women. At least one portrait solved a case in Akron. In November 2020, Little confessed to two Florida murders, for one of which another man had been wrongfully convicted. So what we were talking about with our local case, that really did happen in some of the cases.
Yeah.
So Little had this one really tripped me out because this is a little detail that I'd not heard before. He actually had a long-term girlfriend named Jean, who is now deceased. She supported them both through shoplifting through the years. And he used a wheelchair and had diabetes and a heart condition in the end. I just was like, does this girlfriend know what he was doing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, and she's shoplifting to support them. I don't know. That's just...
It feels you'd like have to really wonder, like, about somebody you're with for a long time, you know?
Yeah. It feels like even if he was keeping it from her and just traveling on his own, like, it seems like she would have to at least suspect something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, everywhere my dude goes, people die. That's awfully weird, right? Women just die and disappear everywhere my dude goes. Like, you would, I'm like, come on. But then again, maybe he was so secretive that she didn't even know where he was going half the time. So I really felt like that should have been explored more, but I don't know when she died, if she died before him or how long ago. So I didn't find any info on that. So maybe it's possible she didn't know, but I guess we will never really know that. He died on December 30th, 2020 in a Los Angeles County area hospital, although California Department of Corrections sources indicate no final determination as to specific cause of death. Little suffered from the aforementioned diabetes and heart problems and other health conditions. So, one of the most shocking facts about Samuel Little is that even though his crime spree lasted well over five decades and included dozens of rapes and murders, he only spent about 10 years of his life in prison before 2012 when he was picked up and finally got life in prison. So all of the other stuff only equal to about 10 years in prison out of all of that shit he had done. He somehow managed to get away with lean sentences every time, resulting in the murders gradually piling up until he became the most prolific serial killer in U.S. history, which I feel could have been prevented had someone kept his ass in a cell. Come on now. I just feel like that's somebody dropped the ball there. Somebody. Somebody down the line had to be like, this motherfucker is evil.
Yeah.
Like, and just do something. You know, like, I don't know. I put like a little timeline here for you to look at that shows there's pictures of him through the years, like all his like mug shots and stuff.
Yeah. Put
my alarm to feed my animals. So
yeah. I was looking back at that other local murder. It was around June 12th, 2006. So it was about a year between the one in the West Main Walmart. But the only thing that throws me off about this one is she was found about 2 miles from where she lived around Lake Piumingo. And for the most part, he kind of dumped people
on the side of the road.
Somewhere. Yeah. On the side of the road. I mean, she was found like on the side of the road. I mean,
yeah.
But with it being that close to where she lived in like the Lake Piumingo community, like,
and it was probably somebody she knew if it was that close to her home.
Yeah.
Which I mean, we're not.
Yeah, but they mentioned that they thought the case originally thought the case was connected to Nancy Stevens, But he said by the end of it, I guess further details they got, they decided it wasn't connected. But I, like I said, I can't find where the guy that they suspected was ever at. It says he was charged with it, but I don't see that he was ever convicted. Like, I couldn't find anything else.
Yeah.
About it. So.
So if you're local and you have police contacts, maybe find out that info, and we'll update you guys if we find out. Like, so locals, let us know if you know any info on that, because we could not find an article that talks about that. But anyway, I guess we're ready to move on to the list portion and chit chat portion, basically. So if you're not into that, then
that's okay.
Then that's okay.
But
we still love you anyway. We still love you anyway. But bye bye. Today's list. What are we doing today?
Soundtracks.
Okay, that's a pretty good one. Although I kind of feel like we touched on that because we did a musicals one, and some of my list is musicals, but we're going to do it anyway.
Because I specifically didn't put musicals, so I didn't crisscross applesauce on it. I don't know. I just got back from a road trip. I'm tired and crazy.
I kind of did a mix. Mine's kind of a mix of just really good soundtracks and musical soundtracks.
Yeah.
Anyway. You first. I can't remember who went first last time.
Yeah, I don't know. Number 5 for me, Footloose.
Nice.
It's a good
number
soundtrack.
5 for me is Pretty in Pink.
Nice. Nope. Number 4 for me is Dirty Dancing. Imagine that.
Nice. Number 4 for me is Steven Universe. It's not a movie, but we didn't say specifically movie soundtracks.
That's true. Damn it.
All right.
Honorable mentions.
I know I've mentioned it at Steven Universe like 1,000 times on here. It's a cartoon, and I know, but it's really well written, and almost every episode has a song, and it's just, I don't know. I've listened to the soundtrack like 1,000 times. Yeah. It's really good stuff. Number 3 for you,
Purple Rain.
Well, that's a good one.
That one was one for me that was kind of hard. It was like, it's not a musical, really. Like, I don't know what you would describe Purple Rain, but god damn, that's a bomb ass soundtrack. Anyway, that's all. Everybody knows about the 3 I just listed, so no details needed. Number 3 for you.
Sing Street, which I think we talked about before. Yeah. That's just a really good soundtrack.
Watch it, people.
Number 2 for you.
Garden State.
Oh, dang, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, it has like Shin songs and so many good songs. I don't know. It's just such a good matched soundtrack to the movie.
It's a very good indie soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Number two for me is Crybaby, which I think was on my musicals list too, but I don't care. It's really good.
Yeah.
Number 1 for you.
Pretty in Pink. That really was. Like, I had that soundtrack when I was a teenager, and I thought I was the coolest person ever for liking it so much, and it had Please Please Let Me Get What I Want by the Smiths, and I thought, by god, can I get any more depressed? And I thought I was so cool.
Yep, good explanation there.
Number 1 for you,
Greatest Showman. And I know we disagree on that movie, but I just love that soundtrack so much. Like, we even have it on vinyl.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
I do. I have the soundtrack on vinyl. I fucking love it. So what's,
I mean, because otherwise I would have been like Moulin Rouge, and I would have just been doing nothing but musicals, so I had to specifically avoid it. So honorable mentions, I actually typed up as we were talking, I put Gilmore Girls, because really though, they have a really bomb ass soundtrack, because they mentioned, like, they have Pixies playing in the background, and you know they even have the Bengals on the show, they have the Shins on the show. Like, I mean, it's really a good show, good music show. And then Amelie, I can't believe I didn't think to put it on there. And so, like, I'm still kicking myself in the ass for not going to see that guy, Jan Tiersen, when he played in Memphis. Like, it was a weeknight, and I'm like, I'm old. But I'll probably never, ever get to see him live, and his accordion playing is, like, just... Like, I didn't know accordion could be beautiful, and it is.
Yeah, exactly. But it is in that movie. And it's just a damn good movie anyway.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get people to watch it because they're like, I don't know, it's a foreign film.
Yeah.
Subtitles, bleh. But it's such a good movie. My honorable men, are you done with yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Footloose, Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm.
Just best soundtracks. We have 1 and 2 on vinyl.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll throw in Purple Rain and Baby Driver. I don't know if you've seen that, but it is a really damn good soundtrack. And I jotted down Amelie since you said that one.
Yeah.
So those are my list. The end.
Yay.
I hope everybody has a good time.
See you next time.
See you next time, which is 5 minutes from now for us because we started recording 2 at a time. Because
we're lazy.
Yep.
Bonsoiré.
Later.